December 14, 2023, it's the Walk for Pedro Show.
Thank you. Watt for Pedro show. Happy Thursday. Start off with John Coltrane, live excerpt from 1960, some of the earliest recordings of the quartet. Doing Every Time We Say Goodbye. And then, I don't know how to pronounce this. Is M-O-A-A. Moa?
Yeah, that was right.
Oh, okay. K-O. And people, you could tell I ain't in man alone mode because of that voice. Yeah, the software engineers from Estonia with their Skype invention. I got Jancy with me. Moa. Welcome aboard, Jancy.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks.
Yeah, absolute. The Riot people made the connect, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Much respect to them. I'm really interested about your journey through music, so let me know about your earliest musical recollection.
My earliest would probably be, it was a lot of classical stuff at some point. I watched compulsively Fantasia, the 1940 animation. I binge-watched that. That was a thing I did on VHS. And after that, I was exposed to a lot of Dead Can Dance. And also Led Zeppelin was something that I indulged in heavily with, like, a DVD live set. I'd watch that every morning before going to school. I was obsessed with that.
Can I ask you, the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
I took piano lessons and violin lessons. And my dad played saxophone.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you go through the ordeal of the piano lesson? I've had people on the show that almost wanted to quit music because of that experience.
Yeah. Well, I actually liked my piano lessons. She, you know, incentivized with like candy and stuff. So I really liked that. But violin was actually the one that almost broke me, I would say. I had a very strict, cold teacher, and I actually wanted to quit at one point. And my dad was like, okay, well, I was like 10. He's like, well, you have to tell her yourself. I was like, okay. So I told her, and she's like, this is the worst decision of your life. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, goodbye.
That's
like,
what you tell 10-year-olds, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Traumatized, yeah. The gateway for this violin experience, was this school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like this?
No. In school, I was, no. I was a good student, but I was...
No, I asked this because some schools got rid of their music departments.
Oh, they did? Oh,
yeah, God. That's why Flea opened up his conservatory of music in Silver Lake, because he went back to Fairfax High, where he learned trumpet, and he found out they had gotten rid of the program.
Oh, God. No, I never was exposed to any music in school, actually. I was saved from that. Unless that was considered a good thing to be a part of that, I never was.
Well, let me ask you this. First record you bought with your own money?
It was a Brian Jonestown Massacre record. Hold on. Thank God for Mental Illness.
And then the first gig you saw?
Oh, I honestly cannot actually recall that. The ones I can recall that were the earliest were like Enfest 13, which is a festival that had X, Franz Ferdinand, Yeah's.
MS-13?
Enfest-13.
Oh.
There's
a band down here called MS-13.
Oh. You
don't really want you to play it in your kegger.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, it wasn't them. No. Yeah,
kind of a little violent-oriented.
Okay.
Kind of a prison thing. But some people call their bands all kinds of stuff. Or festivals, whatever. Let me ask you this. Not after school, like graduation, but in the afternoon, did you get into the garage band, the bedroom band, thing?
Back when I was, like, younger, you mean?
Yeah, of course.
No, actually, I never was playing with, I didn't play music with anybody. I've never performed live music until I started this project. So my whole adolescence.
Tell me how you got into that then.
Into this project, yeah. Moa? I, I started writing alone, actually, in my bedroom. And at some point, we recorded the album in Venice, Italy. And then it was like, okay, well, Andrea, the person who recorded and mixed it and produced it, he was like, we should play this live. And he's like, I think I know a bass player. And so he called his friend, and that's when that started.
You mean you were at home, and you're writing these songs with what, piano and violin, or?
No.
No, and you got like a tape recorder or something, and then you present it to a guy in Italy?
I used GarageBand at first.
Oh, okay.
At home. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I had a weird guitar, a Giulio Giulietti is what they're called. And I was writing with that and like a really shitty bass.
Where'd you learn guitar?
I never learned guitar from anybody. I just was messing around myself.
Autodidact. You're self-taught.
Yeah, self-taught. I think violin might have helped that a little bit. At least for guitar, I was like, wow, there's frets. That's really helpful.
Yeah. They're tuned different, though. They're in fourths instead of fifths.
Right. Well, that's probably beyond my technical knowledge. But yeah.
It means more drama between the strings. So you're sitting there, you're composing songs, accompanying yourself, and then somebody else hears this stuff? How'd they hear it?
Andrea was on tour with another band, and I met him in Seattle, and then in Joshua Tree, he was playing at Pappy and Harriet's. On the way to that show,
What are you saying, Seattle? Because there's a couple of miles between Seattle and Joshua Tree.
I flew to Joshua Tree, or to L.A., and then got the car.
Sure.
And he's in the car, and then I pop in like a tape deck. No, I put on some demos.
Actually, it's Pioneer Town. The story of that? Hollywood built this town to film westerns.
Yes,
after about 5 years of that, all the westerns looked the same. So the town got taken over by bikers, and then music people started coming in about 20 years ago. And it, yeah, that's where it is now, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was staying at the Pioneer Town Motel that had, like, all the different actors' names. Like, I had the John Wayne.
Whoa.
Or, yeah, like, room. You know. Yeah, it's interesting. But, so, yeah, I played him the demos in the car on the way there. And he's like, oh, this is cool.
And you had never played a gig?
No.
You just, here's something I've done at my house just for myself. And what do you think? And he says, yeah, let's record this in Italy.
Yeah, he was encouraging for sure. He's like, "Well, you should keep working on this." So I was like, "Okay, sounds good."
Yeah, absolute. I mean, talk about getting the geo. Look, you gave me this, like all these songs I'm going to play today, were they written during this period?
So the first record was written during that period. Euphoric Recall is the first record.
I don't know what the first. Well, I'm going to play this song, Made in the Shade.
Oh, yeah.
Is that from the first record?
No, that's from the new record that was released in October. Yeah, and these are all the ones that you play from this new record written. I wrote 90% of them in Venice, Italy during COVID.
Oh wow! Okay. Let's listen to Made in the Shade.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off with Moa doing Made in the Shade, then Leaf Blower, brand new, Eyes Leafs, Siren Sticks, and Circus, Akira Sakata's, I think this is his trio, incredible trio, great improvisational musician out of Japan. Then we had Untitled, tune from Motoko Hana's in tour right now in Japan. She played in Nagoya at Valentine Drive a week ago with Masaki Ishiwatari, Shingo Takeda, and Yasuhiro Usui. And a really incredible piano player. MB Jones after that with Harmonica 2, and then finally Moa with All Blood is Lifeless. Okay, so what town did you record? Venice, right?
Yeah, Venice, Italy,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, okay. So you go there and you record it on the lagoon, or was it on the mainland?
Oh, you know. Yeah, it was on the lagoon. Wow. Like right outside of Venice Island. So it's called Tessera, this town, actually. Okay. And it's a small, small town.
And there was a studio there, though, not too small.
Yeah, that's Andrea's studio, Fox Studio Venice.
Oh, great. And you had never been in a studio before. I've never had anybody on the show that so quickly made their first record without
any. Yeah.
That's a trip. And so he heard the demos, the things you were recording in your house with the garage band, and then he wanted to transform into what we're hearing. Well, actually, this is the next record. So that first record, mm-hmm. and he had friends, musician friends, right?
Yeah. Well, so that musician friend was just learned all the songs after the album was actually recorded. So the actual recording in the studio was all Andre and I.
Wow.
So he's a multi-instrumentalist, so he did mm-hmm. the bass. Half of the guitar, I was, I played some of the guitar on that first record.
Okay.
And the synth was me, of course, and the vocals. And the drums, he also did the drums. He did acoustic drums for that first record. So, yeah.
And how close, because, you know, I haven't heard what the demos were like, but how much did stuff develop?
In a studio?
Woman Alone with the demos, and then when Andrea, you're both working on it. So right. How would you, like the tunes mm-hmm. more realized, or what do you, evolve?
Yeah, so the first record, some songs were more realized in the demo state, and some were not, like, at all, and we developed them. Like, the one that there's two songs we co-wrote on that record, one called X Marks, where he's singing on it, actually, and then Flashlights, the other one, and so those were developed more in the studio, and, I mean, really, X Marks was kind of, a lot of it was on the fly. Little chunks here and there. We were like, oh, how do we, like the drum part wasn't thought out, but other songs were more developed as like already in the demo state. The new record though is different in the sense that I demoed everything almost to their full, really to their full structure before I even brought it to him in the studio. So that was a different.
Well, how'd you do that drum wise? Did you play drums?
Well, the new record's actually a drum machine in the record.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted, so that translated really easily, obviously.
Yeah.
Between demo and in the studio.
And then when you did that first record, what'd you do when it came out? Did you tour it?
We did. Like, so it was in 2021.
Yeah.
So it was still pretty intensely COVID period, and we play our first show in Mestre, Italy, which is, again, on the mainland. Like
sure, I know. It's kind of close to Venice, right? But
yeah,
it's on the mainland.
That's right. Yeah. We played in a Parco Bizzuola, which is actually a park I really like that we filmed the Jaywalker video in.
Uh-huh.
So it's full circle kind of there. But so we played some shows in Italy in 2021 after the record was released. Like, the record was released, though, with no gigs booked. And then we started booking gigs. We had a tour with Electric Six, but then, like, the majority of those shows had to be moved because of COVID. The venues moved the date. And then Soviet was another band that we were going to play like a tour, go on tour with, and COVID had to move those. But we still, you know, got out some shows through in Paris at that point.
And
the
how,
UK.
Did you, how did you perform mm-hmm. them? Were you a duet, or did you get more cats to do the live thing?
We had the bass player, his friend, his childhood friend, actually, that they played in a band together already. So, yeah.
So him
cool.
on drums, his buddy on bass, and you on guitar, a trio?
No, actually, it's a trio where Andrea's on lead guitar, the bassist is on bass, I'm lead vocal.
Oh, and there's a drum machine.
And it's a drum machine,
yeah,
yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's how you... For the second record, how you could realize the drums, because the drum machine,
that's
yeah,
right.
of course. Now I understand.
Yeah, you got it, yeah.
So this was hard to tour because of the situation, and but you still soldiered through and plowed through.
Yep.
And do you think that informed you making this record? You know, these tunes are from the second record, right?
Yeah, the ones you're going to, yeah, you're playing.
One here, All Blood is Lifeless. Mm-hmm. Made in the Shade, K.O.
Yeah.
Now, this is stuff, you know, post knowing Andre and before, you know, the garage band scene.
Yeah.
Because you can only be new once, right?
Yeah.
So in that way, it's always going to be a little different.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but now that you got a collaborator, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you are saying that you realized these demos before you brought them to them.
Yeah, that's actually what happened. So
it was still kind of a woman alone thing.
This one was more of a woman alone thing,
oh, wow.
actually.
Okay.
The second record is very much that. The first record was more of a collaboration.
Oh, where you took your primary ideas and then you guys both worked on them. This one, you brought, here's how I want the tunes.
Yeah, they were already written, like all the lyrics, all the vocal melodies, the guitar, bass. There's some tweaks that he made, and he added, like, some guitar parts in certain songs, like embellishments in the
And you
new
said you
record.
Guys wrote two that weren't part of the, you know, the
in
stuff.
In the first record.
Yeah, on the first record.
Yeah.
And then the other guys kind of morphed, you know, as you were getting it together. What about something like KO? Is that short for knockout?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, KO. Yeah, that one was written, actually. That's the only one on the new record that was not written in Venice, Italy. I wrote that probably just 2 months before we started recording, after we moved from Venice to Bonnie Lake, Washington, which is, yeah, near Seattle.
Okay. Okay, so like there was only one tune from the first batch, or was it in between batches?
KO was just like the last two. Made in the Shade and KO were the last of the batch. So the whole record I wrote during COVID in Venice, Italy, and then we came back here, and then I wrote KO and Made in the Shade while living in Washington State.
Okay. Okay. And, yeah, interesting, because you didn't have other people to bounce off of, right?
No.
Now, when you played them for people, what was the reaction like?
I don't actually play my demos for people very often.
No, I mean when you toured, when you brought these tunes to the people.
Oh, yeah. Well, we actually released the record and then started playing those songs live for the first time. There was one show where we played those songs before the album release.
Uh-huh.
It was in Italy, actually. We played a show with Film School from LA, and it was in Schio, Vicenza, in Italy.
Sure.
People really enjoyed the new songs.
Yeah, because it's kind of scary, right? You bring stuff that ain't been tested. And some people, you know, they like to, like, play them for people a bunch and then go record.
Right.
That's kind of luxury.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is a way that a lot of bands, like you said, they function that way.
I just did a tour where the guy had mm-hmm. us playing for 2 months these songs. Then we recorded.
Okay.
Instead of the other way around. And you don't know. You could get the whole record done in a day because you're so practiced up, you know.
Right. That's true. That's totally true. Yeah, we do something a bit inverted, where, I mean, it's a little bit of a resistance attitude in a way, going, for me, where I'm like, these are the songs, period. Yeah. And there's no feedback from other people. These are just them, you know?
Make it be so. It's so.
Yeah.
But in a way, you know, at least you're not getting compromised, not having to dilute. You know, mm-hmm. There's something about dreaming by committee. Sometimes the vision gets kind of cloudy.
That's what I think I'm most concerned about, because I just don't. That's probably the main reason I don't test songs out live or show people the demos.
Like Hollywood people, like, right, doing tests how to end the movie. They don't know how to end the movie, so they put it in front of a bunch of tests. That ain't really a vision, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's still valid. I don't want to rag on it, you know what I mean? It's just more the way I operate, I guess, is this way, is what I found.
Sure. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, 7/14/2023. Dish Wap Peters with special guest Jancy. Hold tight for hour two. December 13, 2023, it's the second hour of the Watch from Pedro Show. Waffle Pedro Show. Start off second hour with Moa doing Jaywalker. And then we had Credo XDL Ghost and Machine doing Light Seal, Convoking Light Seal Wall. That's a title. African Head Charge with Microdosing. Vox. How do you say this? Volksempfanger. Volksempfanger. Dutch word, huh? What the Girl Does. That's Brother AJ Amsterdam. Lednik Frontier with Fading. This is off the Welcome to Gaza benefit compilation at Randolph out of Eugene and Graham in England just put out. Moa, finally. Chalk Lines. Moa, where's this name come from?
Moa, the name of the project?
Because I know with one A, there's a snake, right?
Oh, the snake, yeah. No, I studied genetics, actually, at the University of Washington. And so I was really, I don't know how I caught wind of this. It wasn't in the class or anything, but there's this gene that I was reading about one time. It's called the warrior gene. That's kind of like the simplified or fun name for it. Yeah, fun. And so it was actually MAOA, like the actual written out gene is it's MAOA.
Oh, like that, like the Polynesian people, Maori.
Well, that's the thing is, well, for me, when I read that out loud, I read Mao like deer hunter. So I really didn't want to be Mao. I just, you know, after watching.
Oh,
deer
you
hunter,
mean Mao Zedong.
Yeah. And I was just like, I think I'm going to rearrange those letters, but I really liked the idea of the warrior gene. If you Google that, it's super interesting. It's about like how the gene made warriors fight better in the past. And so they made it more aggressive, but now since we're not in constant war, that gene is found in like serial killers and people with different mental pathologies.
Uh-oh.
And yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Not so healthy. So like when it comes to composing, do you write your lyrics on demand or do you have like a trove saved up of all kinds of spiels and then you bring them out where you need them?
On demand, completely on demand. They just pop in.
What about these titles? What do they come before or after or during?
Sometimes they come exactly before, during, or after, and I'm like saving the project in Logic, and I'll, you know, write a name sometimes that just it just again pops in my head.
Oh, you
and
moved some, up. You, yeah. You moved up from GarageBand to Logic.
I did. That's right. You got
no,
that.
No, I tell you, Jancy, I ask you that question because I ask a lot of people that question because I have to start a song with the title so it gives me focus. But almost everybody I talk to it usually lasts.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. No, I give it a like placeholder title often, and then it will change randomly when I'm saving
like a working
project.
Title, right? Like
yeah, a working title, exactly.
You know, because, yeah, especially other people's songs, you're trying to learn them, and if they ain't got a title, it's kind of nebulous, something about something nailing it down, so even a working title. So what about, like, chalk lines? You know, if you do too much jaywalking, you end up with chalk lines, right?
You got it. You nailed it. That's it.
What was his name? Do you remember Jerry Rubin? He was a guy in the 60s. And he ended up doing stock market stuff, and he was killed jaywalking.
No way. Oh, no.
He's a friend of Abby Hoffman's, yeah. Old days.
Oh, jeez.
But when you got this batch of tunes together, were you thinking like that? Like, do the tunes spread across each other, or are they own separate worlds?
Yeah, for me, they're always little tiny worlds separate in my mind. But then there was definitely a congruency between all of them that I felt like, oh, this could all be one record.
Oh, maybe this is a better metaphor. Like, you got a solar system with different planets.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So each tune is its own planet, but they're all part of this solar. Yeah, okay.
That's perfect.
Okay.
Okay. No, I like that.
here's when you gave me the one. The one, right? This was the tune, right? Okay.
holding my hand. These things make sense to me. These things I can understand. So I don't need 100 words when 1 or 2 will more than do. You don't need 100 ways for you to say what you want to say right now.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music started out with Moa doing the one. Then Julie Christensen, she was on with Chris D a few episodes ago doing Outside. Sky Furrows after that, Desert Saw. Ryan Carraher with Red Wall. Derek Munnett Penny with Blit. And finally, Southeast 24th Street, Moa. Yeah, Portland and Seattle with those southeast, northeast, southwest, northwest, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't just say Fifth Street over there, people. There's four different Fifth Streets.
Okay. Yeah, yep.
And there's a little cemetery there between those two towns besides them sharing the Pacific Ocean. They share that kind of scheme with the rational naming of your... Although Seattle gets funny because we're the around where the Space Needle thing is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was two kinds of families worn, so the streets don't really go together there so much.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I spent some time there hanging out, and you could tell they didn't, that's what big money does, people. So tell me about a song like The One.
Oh, The One.
Let me ask you your philosophy, Jancy, on this. Like, do you like to talk about your music? Because some people, I'll ask them, they'll say, look, why do you think I wrote the song? Why? I don't have to explain. It's like going in a museum instead of the painting. Like the little description of the painting is bigger than the painting.
Yes. Oh, my God. The Biennale had that a lot. There's some that I was laughing at. I can't even... There was one that had, like, denim pants over a piece of clay. I don't even know. And it had this very long description. Anyways, I like talking about my music. I don't mind questions about it at all, actually.
Yeah, well, tell me about The One.
I mean, the one I remember very vividly in Venice during COVID being sequestered in my demo room there. And I was kind of laying on the bed with this, like, circling light thing that's on the ceiling, like a trippy light deal, and I wrote and kind of was on loop the synth bass, that lead like chimey synth sound. Uh-huh. And I was just zoning out and kind of got in the mood, and I always kind of write like that, where I'm just really not thinking very hard, and those lyrics just came out. But then afterwards I read them, and then I kind of know what they're about, what they're referencing. And that one's kind of straightforward from at least my perspective about, being caught up.
Yeah, that situation, especially Italy. I remember reading about COVID-19 really bad, killing a lot of people. And so everyone's got to isolate, but people started singing to each other in some of the towns from the balconies.
Yeah, Naples, Napoli. Yeah.
Okay, but that didn't happen where it was more isolated. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different vibe for sure.
There's an island. I remember when I was there with helping the Stooges out there. I was there four or 5 days on the lagoon there, and there is a little island there that was a former hospital.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a hotel there. That's where the Ashton Brothers and Ig stayed. But they said there were so many mosquitoes.
Oh, my God. There's so... Oh, my God, Mike.
Zanzari,
so
right? Zanzari.
Zanzari. Oh, my God. Do you remember the Zanzari? Yeah, they demolish me every summer. Oh, God. It's so intense. I from Seattle, born and raised, I'm not used to that at all. And I was just, like, dying. I was dying. Yeah, totally.
So you don't even need the hell of the fucking viruses to die.
Yeah, no, like, I'm just getting eaten alive anyways. On all sides, you know?
Okay, this other tune we just heard, it's got a Seattle street name. So, but you wrote that one in Italy?
I did. Yeah, that
one. So were you thinking of home?
Yeah, I thought a lot of home when I wrote this record. There was a lot of reflection back home because being in a foreign country for 3 years, you kind of start. Even if I'm not a big like patriot or something, I still there's an element of kind of missing your home country. So, yeah.
Sure. Except the chow is pretty good over there.
The chow is really, really, really good over there. That's something that cannot be argued compared to here.
Yeah, it's hard to explain because people, oh, yeah, I eat Italian. I have pizza and whatever, cannolis.
Cannolis.
Yeah, right. And so they don't understand that the chow got kind of changed when people moved over here. And, like, pizzas with 50 different toppings. And they're more simple over there, right?
Yeah, but pure, because they don't need to hide the quality, the lack of quality with a bunch of stuff on it.
Yeah, if you can't dazzle them, brilliant, baffle them with bullshit. I remember someone saying that one. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, December 14, 2023, edition of Wapito Show, special guest Jance. Hold tight for hour three. December 14, 2023, third hour of Wapito Show.
memory rushes in and washes you away. I am losing you to the sea. I'll break from the weight of my mind, but your ghost I will gladly bear. You just could not last forever, could I break from the weight of my mind, but your ghost I could last. My love.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off the third hour, Moa doing Undercover. Then we had Omar Jazz doing Lanterns Lit, Singing Light. Rusk with Bamboo Shirt, Part 2. I don't know where Part 1 is. Rubber O Cement with Cardboard, Maxilla, Malchart, Laurie Lussler, Trans Disfigured Waltz, Number 1. And finally, Moa. And I guess this was live on Nudes Radio 2022, X Marks is the name of the tune. What was this? Live broadcast?
Yeah, there was a live... Well, no, we recorded it in the studio in Venice live because, yeah, we didn't... The tour didn't line up when we went to the UK to play at that station in Bristol, but we recorded it live in Andrea's studio, Fox Studio Venice.
And then, what, through the internet, you gave them the sound files?
Yeah.
Yeah. My mother's people came from Italy. Do you have in your family?
No, I don't, actually. I'm 0%. Actually, I can't say 0%. I never did a 23andMe, but yeah, I don't know.
That's good because there was a big data breach there anyway.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I've just never heard in any side of my family any Italian. Not the language, but just that it existed in my heritage. So
No, I was just curious in a way. Because it seems there's this thing about, I don't know, three or four generations. Yeah, I got to find my roots. And then people, I don't think they take the time to think about, I wonder why those people left in the first place.
Sure. Well, yeah, and things change a lot, so who knows, some things flip-flop.
Yeah, of course. And then usually the second or third generation, look, man, we're here now. I don't care about the whole... It's just strange about humans. It's just funny.
It's true. I agree.
It's funny.
Humans are interesting.
Yeah, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at, Sly Stone said. I think that's very relevant.
I like that.
So tell me about a tune like Undercover.
Undercover.
Because that like, right, like you were talking about 23, you know, knowing your genetic makeup or that warrior gene thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff, right, there's the genotype and the phenotype, right? You might not see, right? Like, let's say I got recessive blue eye genes. If I'm brown eye, you're never going to know that by looking at
me. Never. Yeah. No, maybe if you look at your parents or
Right. So is Undercover something like that?
Undercover's kind of sneaky. Maybe it is the recessive gene. It's all about being sneaky, that one. And, yeah, for me, it's the betrayal. It's a betrayal song, if I had to summarize it.
Well, are you less younger enough to know this TV show called The Mod Squad?
I don't know The Mod Squad.
Okay, it was these, like, policemen dressed up as hippies. Making sure everything was kosher and stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, now is that like it's not Reno 911, but that's more my...
Well, you know, I actually saw this generation. In the punk scene up in Hollywood. They had like policemen dressing up as punk rockers at the...
It
was called Café de Grand, this hangout. It was like, all of a sudden you'd see some guy dressed like, you know, I don't know, Sid Vicious or something. And, but it was like... You know, from the mall or something. Like, where are you from? Where'd you just show up from, you know? Of course, pinned eyes and shit. You know, they had that part right. So just the whole idea of being undercover. And there's so much that is kind of undercover without even knowing. Like, we were talking about genes.
Yeah. There's like, a lot of undercover.
I might have the warrior gene and not even know it.
Yeah, you got some version of that gene, that's for sure. Now, do you have that mutation that makes you more aggressive? We do not know until...
I do, though, my proclivity for bass, I might have more of the nurturing gene because...
A nurturing gene.
Yeah, like tile, you know, there's grout to set the tile. Yeah,
yes, like yes, of course.
Okay, maybe grout. Not so much work. I want to play Such a Saint. Here, let you run.
Be quiet, watch me grin. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start that chunk up. Slash music for this edition. Such a Saint from Mulla. Then a big expression from Carl M.V. Wow out of Brighton, England with Blank Spaces. Yeah, big expression of Blank Spaces, though. And then finally Moa with Like Me. Well, that's a trip. Like Me. Because you said, you know, it's kind of an individual exploration, so.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like there you're trying to relate outside of yourself.
Yeah, it can be interpreted like me, like relating to me, but yeah. It can also be like just liking, you know, liking me.
Well, what do you think about like current mood concerning empathy? Where people, like sympathy, you're feeling sorry for somebody, right? But empathy, you're kind of feeling like them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're able to actually relate based on experience instead of imagining.
Yeah, patting somebody on the top of the head. Oh, I feel so bad for you. No, it's like, you know what? I went through that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no, I know. I actually know.
Yeah. Empathetic. Because I think that's a little bit of what we're lacking, if things come in cycles and stuff like that. Right now we're in a down cycle for empathy. Like, people, it seems some want to vote for it being kind of a weakness.
Oh, being, well.
But maybe that's just a trend.
It could be kind of that trend of going, oh, I'm an empath, so I'm feeling too much of everyone around me. I feel like that's kind of the knee-jerk reaction to, I mean, an outsized reaction.
So you got to come on all butch, like, no way is that going to, other people do not affect me. I'm not interested in their feelings.
Yeah, there's no balance, basically, of like, well, okay, if I'm too sensitive and I can't, I'm too empathetic, I'm basically just going to cut everyone off. You know, that it's a overreaction instead of being like, okay, yeah, I can empathize, but stay separate from the person.
And now with the second album, tour?
Yeah, tour. Well, we just toured the U.S. We did the East and the West Coast.
How'd that go?
Album. It went good. Yeah, it was very
fun.
How
would you say, because, you know, people have been asking me this since, you know, I've been doing the touring for 40-something years. And, the big difference between overseas and here.
Yeah. Well, we're actually just about to announce tomorrow the European tour, and yeah, the difference for, I mean, I'm sure you have plenty of examples. I just like over there, you know, they actually accommodate you when you're a smaller band, you know, you get accommodation literally, and they feed you and they pay you well. It's not as intensely sink or swim with the door deals, right?
Yeah, of course. Except for England. England's a little like over here.
Yeah, that's still like America. Well, they're no longer Europe, so when I'm talking about this, it's kind of
conveniently
not. I know, they're
a whole 25 miles away or something. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible.
Oh, yeah, it's an island. Yeah, but so is fucking Copenhagen.
Yeah.
In fact,
right.
Sweden's like 10,000 islands.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When you get done with this Europe tour, are you thinking of album number 3?
I'm not thinking album number 3, but I'm already kind of writing. I got the itch after tour to start writing some more. So I've been doing that in my demo room, like before, you know, in Logic now.
Yeah, we moved on up. Now, how do you think number 3 will be different? Of course, 1 and 2 had to be different because you can only be 1 once.
Yeah.
So how do you think 3 is going to be different?
Oh, God.
I mean, are you noticing? Of course, you won't know until it's realized.
But no, there is some experimentation that I'm doing right now that might not even be Moa, to be honest with you. It could be a separate thing. I'm not sure yet. I have to keep writing to understand, like, does this still fit or does it not? So that's kind of where I'm at, honestly. It's a little bit of a fork in the road feeling, but I have to write more to fully understand.
And so, you mean when you get down to recording it, it might be different people?
No.
Well, you're going to be involved, of course.
Yeah. No, Mo is always me writing. So it's more about the material that I'm writing. Like right now, there's stuff I'm writing that might not fit into the project. It might be too different from what I normally write for MOA.
So you might call it another name. It's still going to come out, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, it still would come out. It'd just be a different name.
Well, can I put the invite out that when you get this third album, realize you can come back on the show, we can plan to talk about it?
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to.
Yeah, because I'm really interesting. And, you know, music's expression, so if you're feeling a certain way, maybe it ain't like it was, you know. And then you can always go back, who knows, you know.
Yeah, I could always go, that's the thing, I could at the same time be writing the stuff that doesn't fit, but then start writing MOA stuff alongside that. That could happen too, where I still need to satisfy the MOA urge.
Okay,
you know?
Well, no pressure on you. No, Mr. Wells learned us, right? So no wine before it's done.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much for being on the show, Jancy. Yeah. Whenever you want, please come back.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Good luck with this overseas tour. People, it's been the December 14, 2023 edition of WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.